The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness, and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Now they were bringing even infants to Jesus that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. You may be seated. It's always interesting in that gradual when we hear, let the wise hear and increase in learning. Wisdom seeks more wisdom. We keep learning. And we see that God commands us, even from our very foundation of who we are as Christians, to teach, to learn. In Matthew 28, we know that making disciples of all nations is done by baptizing and teaching. So God commands us to baptize and teach our children. These things are not optional. They're who we are as God's people. Disciples are made of all nations by baptizing and teaching, and those two things go together. It's always interesting then reading throughout the years the different writers of the Reformation on things like education, schools, learning, and whatnot. I was reading the other day from Johannes Bugenhagen, Martin Luther's pastor, and one time he made this comment concerning children. He made this connection with baptism and teaching. He said, "It is holy and properly Christian that we bring children to baptism, as has been said," and he goes on to say, "However, when the time comes that they reach the age of reason, the snake also comes, like to Adam and Eve, and begins to teach the children all vice and guides reason so that they slander the articles of the Christian faith and despise the covenant made with Christ in baptism. Then is the time, then it is required of us that they should be taught. However, unfortunately, one does not hold them to it so that they hear and learn God's word. They are also not taught the fear of God and the commandments in the homes. What does not pay attention that they learn from the holy gospel of Christ so that they might remain with Christ, to whom they were previously offered in baptism? What else does it mean when the people often would like to say this, the children whom we had offered to Christ in baptism shall not remain his now that they are growing up. We brought the little ones to him, for he says, let the children come to me. However, he will not have the adults. We do not want to know what he has commanded us. We do not want to know that he has also commanded us to teach the children. We do not want to know that he said in Luke 11, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And in John 8, whoever is of God hears God's word. You are not of God, therefore also do not hear God's word. It happens that godless parents raise godless children." So ends on a quite not a happy note, but he goes on further to talk about then the need for schools, the need for education, the need for these ones who have been baptized, brought into the church of God for us to teach and raise them up. He's very blunt about it. But the point, though, is that the spiritual also relates to education, because the devil, the world, and our fallen flesh want to snatch away children from Jesus. That's what happens. We see it all around us, and you don't have to look far. You know all too well the danger is real. But God has not left his children alone. In the Old Testament reading today, God said in those familiar words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." And so those words of God taught the people about how they are to think about these things as they go through this world. God's children being taught. And notice how it includes so many things in life. They are to be on their hearts when you sit in your house, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise. And so, in other words, these things are so important to the extent that you don't let anyone or anything else get in the way. And to drive home that point even further, God says, "It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God is in your midst as a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you off from the face of the earth." And so God orders us that he gives us our families, he gives us our church, and what is given us to then owe to our children. This was the life of God's people in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and even now. God gives life, God speaks, and we listen. We take this all to heart, what God has said. We talk about it in our daily lives, treasuring these things that God has done and what God speaks. And so as a new school year begins, we're called to listen to God. We're called to take to heart what he teaches us as parents, teaches us as teachers, serving as God's instruments, using us for children to grow in wisdom. And the vocation, likewise, of a student is also a serious one. God's word is proclaimed to children, and this world's word spills out into everything that we learn. God's word is true, and it informs the world around us. We see the goodness of God as he has revealed himself to us in Christ through his word. We see the world as being God's creation and ordered and governed by him. We appreciate what's been handed down to us and created as good and worthwhile to study and explore. And we see it beautiful to behold God's handiwork and the work that has been done in the realms of life, be it in math, art, music, or the countless other subjects that are studied throughout the year, and to see how God's hand is in all of these things and brings them together. So is it any wonder then that we value those people and ideas which have gone before us, which have been handed down? We honor those who have handed down this faith and who have also handed down this wisdom, even this worldly wisdom that still is of value to us. We value the arts. We value the virtues to serve one another, to pass on the faith. Martin Luther once said in his famous writing from 1524 about the opportunity to afford to educate children, he said, "Now that God has so richly blessed us and provided us with so many men able to instruct and train our youth aright, it is surely imperative that we do not throw his blessings to the wind and let him knock in vain. He is standing at the door. Happy are we who open to him. He is calling us. Blessed is he who answers him. If we turn a deaf ear and he should pass us by, who will bring him back again?" And so as God's people, we approach all of this as we have each year and every day with a spirit of humility. We know where we fit into all of this. We see God's great value that he places and gives his children, and how he calls us to be his own, to daily return to those baptismal waters that have claimed us as God's own children. And then for us to be baptized into Christ means everything. It's all inclusive for us. Even as on that day of Pentecost in the second reading when Peter preached, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." God promises his word, they're for all of us. And so the command then to instruct children is indeed a lofty one. Those words are blunt by Bugenhagen, but we know that the Lord gives, even as he himself is our teacher. The call to be a disciple, a student of his word, is to sit at the feet of the one who alone is perfect and has the words of eternal life, even as he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we rejoice once again in another school year and where the Lord has called us as his people. The vocations that we have been given by God, that we see God delights in us serving our neighbor, just as he delights in our baptism, just as he delights in teaching. And the Lord God has called you to himself, and he shepherds you. This is who he is as the good shepherd. And so hear those words of Jesus and be comforted that you are his child in the waters of holy baptism, and yours is the kingdom of God. And rejoice in the great treasure that you have and who God has made you to be as his own. And rejoice likewise in learning and in handing down the faith and all that is true, good, and beautiful to the generations to come. Christian education lives in faith toward God and in love toward one another. And thanks be to God for what is done at St. John's Classical Lutheran School here for yet another year, and all the education done in our midst for all of us, young and old alike. And it's nothing short of miraculous. It's truly a sign of God's love and his care for his children, the children whom he has baptized, the children who he claims as his own, the children we are called to teach, the children that God preserves and guards and keeps as his own even unto life everlasting. So rejoice and give thanks as his people, be led by the good shepherd who has done it, and all the education done in our midst for all of us, young and old alike. And we give thanks this day, and as we give thanks this day for our Lord who has done this well and continues to do all things well, even unto life everlasting. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.